You know, don't forget, I'm going to have the Praying the Word books over there, but some of y'all said you wanted to help me in prayer team, and if you didn't know about that, well, let me know, because after service, we're going to open up an invitation to pray for people, and so, you know, if y'all want to be there to pray with people. But if you need some ammo, you know, get you a Praying the Word book, circle it, or get some of these cards that are in the bookstore, you know, that have scriptures on it, so you feel like you're armed. Somebody comes up and asks you something or wants you to pray for something, you know, and you need some firepower. It never hurts to have a lot of ammo. I always felt like if I was ever in a war, that would be my biggest problem, is I would have so much ammo on me, I wouldn't be able to run, because I just wouldn't want to run out of ammo. As long as I'm shooting, I'm still in the fight. So, amen. Well, get your Bibles out tonight. I want to share something with you out of the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I want to encourage you that if you weren't here Sunday, to go back and listen to that message. I saw Jake had it up on the website. It's up on the new SoundCloud. If you want to go to SoundCloud, if you hadn't figured out how to do that, well, come to me after church. I'll get you all set up. Got Miss Jan set up this afternoon. It's a pretty cool thing. I'll tell you, man, you just punch on SoundCloud and pop up the message, and bing, bada, bing, you got me there. What? What do you mean it wouldn't turn on? CW, you're probably pushing the wrong button. I'll show you. I'll make it work for you, CW. I'll make it work. To what? There you go. Well, this message that I preached Sunday about repentance, I mean, I went home and was dwelling on it myself even more. And I don't know, I just, my wife, she's such an amazing woman. She, after y'all got up and were testifying, whatever Wednesday that was, a couple of Wednesdays ago, and she came back and said, did you notice that what you prophesied in December is coming to pass? And I said, well, what did I prophesy? I don't even remember what I said. And so she wrote them down and brought it to me and showed me what I'd prophesied was going to happen in 2014. And a lot of that has to do with the revelation of Jesus. And I just really believe that the Lord is trying to get us to a place where we really understand His Word, really understand what it is. A lot of times we've accepted things, and it has a slant to it based off of religion. And we really haven't studied it ourselves. We just accepted certain facts or certain things that came out of the denominational world, and we just said, oh, okay, you know, that's what repentance is or whatever. But we never really had God breathe into us what the life of His Word is, because so many people, when you say the word repentance, automatically they feel like they're in judgment and that you have set yourself up to judge them. And repentance was never meant for that. Repentance was supposed to be so that we could be free and could see the truth and could be encumbered by the burdens of our lives and what it all had happened to us or whatever we've walked through or whatever. Because you got to imagine, a lot of people have only done the things that the religious world calls sin because of the trauma that happened to them in their life, right? And so it's the repentance all the way back to getting free of all that junk, just being able to be free and just to be able to express yourself to Jesus and have Him breathe in you life. And so I just kept going more and more, and you may hear some more of this when I get back on a Sunday morning to preach it. But I want to just start here in Hebrews chapter 10. I want us just to look at some things. I'm in verse 1. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Now, when you have to understand something about the Old Testament, God never intended man to live into the Old Testament laws of sacrifices and all. he gave all the laws to man to show man that they couldn't ever keep it. That's what it was all about. It was to reveal man to man that he wasn't good enough. But somewhere along the line, we got to thinking, hey, we can accomplish this. We can do this. And so you got to remember, under a Jewish law, everybody made sacrifices on a Sunday morning, just for, you know, just give me that. Everybody went to church on a Sunday morning and offered up sacrifices for the sins they'd committed that week, even knowing that they weren't really doing anything but covering up that mess that week. But then the high priest went every year into the Holy of Holies and did the blood of atonement on top of the mercy seat, which again was just kind of like generally over the whole nation of Israel, covering everybody's sin. Y'all with me? But they knew it was only covering the sin. The sin was always there. Nobody went and offered a sacrificial lamb and then walked away and said, man, I feel so good, I'm free. What they did was they offered a sacrificial lamb, a blood of an unblemished lamb, a tender, pure thing to say, oh my God, I'm a horrible person and I need this blood over my life and I need something to cover me. But they really weren't forgiven. You with me? They knew it. It was a continual thinking in the Jewish mind that the sacrifices were not going to ever cover you. They weren't going to fix it. And so what happened is then we as Christians have walked into the Christian under the blood of Jesus, and we're still living a lie, because what we're doing is we're not taking the blood of Jesus and letting it remove our sin, because we have a remembrance of that sin every year, standing in our face and, you know, you're a sinner. You know, something that a lot of people say is, you know, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, you were, but now you're a saint. So if you walk around all the time saying you're a sinner, you know what you're going to do? You're going to make mistakes all the time. And Bruce and I have had this talk before about Alcoholics Anonymous or, you know, AA, and you always declare to everyone, you know, well, I'm an alcoholic. Well, you're either free, redeemed, washed of the blood, and you are now a saint, a child of God. You may have a tendency to move towards alcohol, but you're not an alcoholic. You're a saved saint. And if you walk around all the time saying you're an alcoholic, then you're going to keep yourself in bondage. If you walk around all the time saying you're a sinner, well, then what's going to happen to you in life is you're going to be more sin-focused than you're going to be freedom-focused. Yeah. You're confessing what you're going to be. Y'all with me? Now, we all make mistakes, but we all have to understand, what does repentance do for us? Now, it said here that the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that everything was doing, it never could make you perfect. Read verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshiper, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. It would have taken away everything. It would have been done. If that lamb or that turtle dove or that grain offering or that whatever offering was offered was good enough, it would have set them free. Y'all with me? But it wasn't for setting them free. It was for bringing a remembrance to them to say, you didn't make it. You got to have a greater sacrifice, which is Jesus. But they didn't see it like that. They set up whole religious orders just to try to be perfect. But no matter how much we cut it in our flesh, we'll never be perfect. Okay, verse 3. For in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls or goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into this world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then he said, behold, I have come, and the volume of the book is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for your sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will, By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Look at that word, sanctified. That's a great word, sanctified. Okay? It means set apart. Okay? It means set apart. Verse 11. Now every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But after this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. And from that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Okay. Jesus said in Luke 24 that all of that we're supposed to go out and we're supposed to preach repentance and remission of sin. Repentance means the turning away from sin, and remission means the absolute removal. Now you wonder why, you think about this, from our perspective, we look at it from our Gentile faith and the way we've been raised and whatever, we don't really think about it all that much. But from a Jewish perspective, they always had forever, for thousands of years, the remembrance of sin. Now all of a sudden they're preaching, it's gone. There's no remembrance. And that was just hard for people to understand. It's just like, well, wait a minute. I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I can handle that truth. Because that's just too much. You mean where Jesus has made the sacrifice, just like the high priest made the atonement on the mercy seat, and that blood's covered everything. Well, we just can't accept that because, oh, so-and-so, we know him. He still does things that are wrong. But wait a minute. We're being sanctified. I don't know about y'all, but I'm better than I was, but I got a lot of ways to go. Hello? I didn't just go up and confess Jesus and got saved, and all of a sudden I was a perfectly walking saint. I was a saint by faith. I was a saint by my position in heaven, but I still had some ways and some things that I had to learn. Right? Some growing I had to take place, some molding, some stretching, some things the Lord had to say to me, don't do that anymore. Hello? So there's a process of sanctification here. Well, repentance is the start. Repentance is freeing. Repentance is not a bad thing. But repentance, listen to this, repentance and then trying to live under the law, all you're doing is offering another sacrifice all the time. Repentance, what happens to us is, listen, if you repent of something, whatever, okay? I don't even want to designate it because I told you Sunday, we got to have repentance when we feel inferior because you're not believing what the Word of God says. Woohoo! Bible says you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You're an overcomer. So then if you're depressed, would not that be just as opposite of not believing what his word says? This is as much sin as going out and doing whatever. See, your mind starts freaking out and say, I don't know if I can believe this. This is too much. You know, I don't know about this. It's pretty wild stuff. Yeah, I hate to tell you, but sin is sin. Anything that we're not believing the Word of God says about us is not, that's not a faith that you're not believing God for, it's sin. If it's your finances, it's and you're not believing God for your finances, you're not believing and doing what he said in Matthew 6 and take no thought for what he says, then you're walking in sin. Worry is sin. Hello? So we say repentance, and everybody thinks about repentance. Oh, they went out and did something really big, and so they need to repent about that. Well, wait a minute. It's every day of our life. We have to walk in repentance of everything that we come in an understanding that we're not truly walking in the Word of what it says about that. This morning, I woke up, and I could tell right when I woke up I was on the edge. You know, I was on the edge of just falling off and getting into you know, the pit of despair. And I was just right on the thin little line there. And so I was reading my Bible and praying and trying to get myself built up and speaking the word and, you know, walking along. But I just knew it. I could sense it. I could feel it. And then a part of it was just I knew I had a lot of things I had to do. And it was bothering me because I needed to be here, need to be there, need to do this, need to do that. And, oh, my gosh, I forgot about that. And I had to do this and that. And it was beginning to burden me. And I was thinking there's no way I'm going to get it done, you know. And then my wife came in and told me one more thing I needed to do. Oh, don't forget about. I mean, she didn't do it in a bad way. She just said, oh, don't forget about. You got to get that. And I just looked at her and said, you know, that right there that you just told me was the tipping point. I'm in control. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to fall into the pit of despair. But that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That was the tipping point. I just went over the edge. And so I said, so instead of going on over the edge, I said, I just need to pray. And so I started to pray. I said, Lord, you know, I'm over the edge. I know I can feel it. I can sense it. I'm falling over the edge. And I'm just stopping. I just ask you right now, I just repent for falling over the edge. I repent for taking all this on me when I shouldn't. You said I'm supposed to cast my cares upon you, for you care for me. And Lord, you said that I'm not supposed to take thought and worry about these things. And so I did, and I'm sorry, and I just repent. I just ask you right now, would you just begin to line this up, begin to line my debt, begin to fix what needs to be fixed? Because, I'm ready to go back to bed. I don't even want to face the day. I don't want to walk out the door. And, you know, in just a few minutes, phone started to ring. Things started to happen. Things started changing up. Things started turning around. And one thing started the next thing. And so the next thing I know, everything just fell into place. And I said, wow, that's amazing, Lord. You know, that's really impressive that how you arranged this day that I didn't have to go into freak out mode. Do y'all have a freak out mode? Y'all have one? I think we all do. There's a freak out mode there. When you get over that line, then you fall into freak out mode. And so I saw the Lord immediately do, but how did I get there? Repentance. Because I wasn't believing the word of God. I really, truly wasn't trusting in what his word says to me in my life. And so therefore I had to repent. Repentance took me right out of the pit of despair into the place of victory, right? And it was a good thing. It wasn't a bad thing. That's what you have to break in your mindset. Repentance is a good thing. And repentance puts us right back in the place we need to be with him. Hello? Okay, so let's read on. But the Holy Spirit, verse 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I remember no more. For there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. So I didn't get entangled with the thoughts of, oh, I should have woke up and been in faith. See, if you get into that, oh, why didn't I make that right decision? Why did I do that? What did I do? Wait a minute. You're just going back and having a remembrance of what you messed up on, which is going to keep you out of the throne room. Because where you need to be is in the throne room. He's not remembering the sin. See, it's us humans that put judgment on people and say, ah, well, you know, Frankie, he ain't going to live up to it. It's us that put judgment on ourselves and say, we know you. You know, I'm talking to myself. He said, I know you. I know what you're going to do. What are we doing? We're having remembrance of sin. So then aren't we just offering another sacrifice? Aren't we just taking another lamb and slaughtering it there? Because we're remembering it. But he doesn't remember it. He says, the lawless deeds, I don't remember anymore. See, we just say, this is too much for us. We can't understand God when it comes to this. We've got to have the Holy Ghost enlighten us. Because you're just thinking, oh, but Lord, you know what I did. And he's like, I don't. What are you talking about? Well, you know when I failed you the other day. No. I don't have any remembrance of that. Is there any record of any of that kind of stuff? No. Because we repented and it all got washed into the blood. But see, we can't perceive that because we're looking at everything with human eyes. And we're saying, well, humans, we don't forgive. We don't forget. We always remember and we know what you did. So we do it to ourselves. So what we're doing is we're offering a sacrifice for ourselves again. Okay? So here we go. 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. That's where we're supposed to be. Right there in the Holy of Holies with Jesus. I've always said that I don't know how heaven's exactly going to be, and I can only imagine with my mind, which I know is falling short. But I've always just thought about it. I can just see like everybody's lined up in heaven, and God booms from the throne, sons of God step forward, and everybody just kind of freezes, you know. Who's he talking to? And the angels just stand there looking down. It's like, oh, these guys, man, I can't believe these guys. You know, because for us to stand in the presence of God, and you talk to anybody about God, it brings up a remembrance of their sin or their lack of sanctification. When that is right here in between our eyes is our problem, because we're not walking in what the Word says. You know, we're not walking on what the Word says. Now, we're supposed to be at the Holy of Holies, and let's see here. By a new, everybody say a new. There's a new way here, church. It's not the old way under animal sacrifice. It's a new way, a living way. So that means if it's living, it's changing, it's moving, it's flowing, it's alive. It's not just straight and stoic and you know, the same old thing. There's no way, listen to me, you cannot put God in a box. You cannot say, well, this is the way God always operates. He does it like this, and this is what I have to do. It's a new and living way. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what repentance does for you. When you, by faith, repent, turn, say, Lord, I see the errors in my ways. I don't want to be like that. Change me. That right there, then, the repentance takes you to the place where you're washed, your hearts are sprinkled from an evil conscience, your body's washed with pure water, where there's a cleansing and the sanctification process is starting to work in you. Yeah, with me? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. Yeah, you can't imagine it, but God can. You can't be faithful in it, but he can. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Folks, it's a whole lot easier in life to take somebody and say, come on, man, come on with me to the throne of grace. And they say, well, listen, I don't feel right. Okay, well, let's repent. Here, I'll pray with you. Let's repent. What do you feel guilty about? Well, you know, well, let's repent. Okay, come on now, let's go. It's okay, you're all forgiven. Then it is to say, look, now you need to be real quiet when you get to come into the gates of heaven, because if God spots you, you know, he may just smoke you right here. You know, so just kind of try to stay under the radar here and don't get too loud, because he might notice you, and then he'll know what you did, and he'll smoke you right there. Sweep you up in a dustpan. But that's what the church has done forever. Church has said, the person walks through the door and says, oh, look at that guy. He doesn't look like he's dressed right. He doesn't look like he smells right. I saw that guy the other night in the beer joint. Who does he think he is coming to church? We're a better place to be. Teach them repentance. Let them, the sanctification process start to work in them. Get them to the throne of God. Then he will impart in them his living word. It's what he said he'd do. And he'd start to tell them, and he'd start to talk to them, and he'd start to work with them. And I want to tell you something. People will receive something if it's from the Lord. They won't receive something if it's out of judgment. I've had so many people over the years come to me, and they'll be talking to me, well, this is the problem, you know, or whether it's a marriage problem or a situation. Well, you know, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. And I just always let them talk, because eventually they'll talk themselves around into, if you just leave them long enough, to telling me what really is the root of the problem, which is somewhere along the line they're mad about something, or they did this, or, you know, whatever. You're with me? You can't believe the comments I got after church on Sunday when I preached that message about repentance, and what conversations went on between here and my truck. And I was just chuckling to myself, saying, well, Lord, you're doing good work. I mean, you're already working on people, all kinds of things people are saying, you know, and I just had to laugh because God was already working. Because see, if you repent, then he starts to put his law into you. That's what he said, right? Let's look back at it. He says, I'll put my laws in your heart and your mind. I'll write them. He starts to be the one that's talking. He starts to be the one that says, don't do that. You know, I want to tell you something, folks. It is an exciting day in your life when God speaks to you and says, look, just change this. Don't do that anymore. That's a great day. That means you've got clear communications with heaven. That means heaven's talking to you. That means God's putting his word in you. That means he's putting his law in your heart. That means something's going on the inside of you. It's a day to rejoice, man. You heard from heaven. It's not a bad thing to say, oh, I wish I would have done it. I need another lamb to go sacrifice. That's progress. He goes on and says, verse 26. Now, this is a scripture I want to deal with. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. Now, doesn't that just make it sound like you did it again, what you were trying not to do? You were worried, and then you got out of worry, but then you worried again, so now you're sunk. Y'all ever had that preached to you that way?
Well, they used to come to church, but they don't come to church anymore, and they're over there doing all kinds of stuff over there, and they ain't going to make it to heaven.
And preached a lot. That's not what that scripture means. Got to take it all into text. Right? You got to take it all into connotation here. 26 says, for if we sin willfully after we have received what? The knowledge of the... If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So what's he talking about? He's talking about if you were living by works, and you were believing for the animal sacrifice to save you, or you thought you could do it yourself, and then you came into the knowledge of what repentance really means and the true knowledge of what Jesus is doing for you, and then you got free, and then you went back to the old way, he said, man, you're out of faith. You're back over there looking for that animal sacrifice. You don't have anything. And that's what we do, folks. Listen to me. That's what we do in our ignorance when we truly repent of something and then let guilt or shame or something of this nature plague us to where we don't walk on. What's happening to you is you're looking for another way. You may just be doing it in your head, but you're looking for another way, and there isn't any other way. There isn't any other sacrifice for your sin. There isn't any other way that's going to get you there. And if you stay in that looking for another way, he says, man, you're lost because you're not going to, there's no place you can find repentance for that. There's no place you can find forgiveness for that. You're out. There's nothing there. It's the old law. And the old law was to bring you a remembrance of sin. And if you're doing that, you're fulfilling the scripture. That's not talking about a Christian who loves Jesus, who's coming to the knowledge of the truth, who's walking every day with repentance on his mind to get his heart straight and to get his heart right, and is going through the sanctification process and stumbles and falls and gets up and dusts his britches legs off and says, Lord, man, I'm sorry I did it again. I need you to put that law in my heart. I need you to sanctify me. Help me here. Get through this thing. Keep walking, because you're still looking to Jesus as your answer. Are y'all with me? It's when you stop and think you can do it yourself. Like there's something in me. I guess it's the old Adamic nature that I can't discipline myself very well. Are y'all with me? That's why I've never been successful in like trying to diet out of just looking in the mirror and saying, man, you weigh too much, dude. You need to lose some weight. I've never been successful at that. Because all I'm doing is putting condemnation on myself and then trying to motivate myself by condemnation rather than by revelation of the Word of God. And what you're doing is you're going back to the old law. And you're under a self-sacrificing situation. And God doesn't want you to keep sacrificing yourself over and over again. He wants you to take the blood of Jesus and come into your life, receive that into your life so you can be free. So that he can continue to put his law into you, continue to put his word into you, continue to soak that on the inside of you so that you can be free. Because the place we need to be in is sanctification and growing with Jesus every day. Learning. You know, if you messed up 10 times and the next week you only messed up 8, hey, you're growing. Right? And you're making progress not because you keep sacrificing yourself. You're making progress because the Spirit of God is moving on the inside of you and he's motivating you and he's pushing you and he's getting you to the place you need to be. And that's the only way to live. It's the only way you're ever going to have freedom. So repentance is a great thing. Repentance should be one of the number one tools that we use in our arsenal every day. Because it brings victory, it brings liberty, it brings freedom. And you know, you can just turn the sheep out. You don't need to keep your flock outside to keep sacrificing. Open the little cages and let the birds fly. And we need the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, helping us every day, leading us and guiding us and speaking to us and talking to us. You know, I've told you this story so many times that, you know, I grew up and I don't know if it was just the you know, from my father and his friends and people I was around, but, you know, I didn't ever think I was a liar. But I did tend to maybe embellish a little. But I never caught it was lying. I mean, it's just good old embellishment, you know. It's like Daddy would say, how many cows got out? And I'd say, man, it's like, you know, 50. Well, it may have been 5, you know, but it seemed like 50. You know, everything was always bigger than it really was. And that's the way I grew up, you know. I'd go on a fishing trip. How many fish were biting? It's unbelievable. You know, I mean, y'all with me? You tend to look at a buck standing outside there and he's always bigger than he really is when he's on the ground. Right? We embellish. And one day I walked to the doors right over there and the Holy Ghost, I just told somebody a story and I had embellished, I guess. And I walked in the doors of the church and the Holy Ghost said, you know what, when are you going to quit being a liar? Man, it cut me. You know, it was deep. I said, what do you mean a liar? And he says, you're called to tell the truth. So speak the truth. Because see, what had happened is it's like you had a service and 3 people got saved. And you said, man, it was a wad of people. I don't know. I couldn't even count them. And so then he took me back. He says, why do you want to make the story bigger than it is? I said, well, I don't know. You tell me. You seem to be in control of this conversation. Tell me what's going on. And he says, well, you have some inferiority problems inside of you. And if it's bigger, it seems better. And so it looks better. And so that's why you're doing that. And I want you to know you're whole in me. So from now on, just tell the truth. And I'll tell you right there, boom, set me free. Set me free. To this day, I'm really don't like numbers. And, you know, like if somebody was to ask me, well, how many people were at the the meeting on Sunday, I'm gonna want one of y'all to have counted or something, because I'm not gonna want to say. It was like this when the crowd stood up. Y'all with me? But he got to the root, because why? I had a repentant heart. I wanted to be right. And so therefore his law could work in me, his word could speak to me, the Holy Ghost could communicate with me, and therefore then that's what sets you free. Right? That's how it works. Repentance is a great, great, great tool in your arsenal. Be quick to repent. Be quick to get under the blood. Amen? And if you're in question, then ask the Holy Ghost. Y'all with me? Because, you know, folks, we got to watch ourselves. You know, we're good old country folk. We tend to get in judgment pretty quick. If you put us in San Antonio in the midst of a bunch of suits, we country people tend to get in judgment pretty quick over those people. And that's sin. And why? Because they're intimidating you. Well, what do you need to be intimidated about? I never forget, we were at a restaurant years ago. I was with Pastor Randy, and we were sitting at a restaurant, and this guy walked in the restaurant, and I kind of watched him walk by, and he just dropped his fork and just started laughing. He said, "I know exactly what you thought." And I said, "You don't know what I thought." He said, "I know exactly what you thought. You thought, I bet he can't skin a deer." I said, "Well, that's real close." But that wasn't quite it, but that's real close. And that's exactly what I was thinking, you know? And that's the way we tend to look. But folks, listen to me. Man, Jesus heal you of all that. You need to be who you are, who God called you to be, where God called you to be, doing what he called you to do. And you don't need a pen full of lambs and a bunch of bird cages out there, you know, your turtle doves in them. Just need to be quick to repent and let the Spirit of God work in you. Amen? Good word? Keep that repentance handy. Amen.